This episode of Ministry Monday is brought to you by Ministry Scheduler Pro. Take the pain out of church volunteer scheduling with powerful, easy-to-use software designed specifically for ministry scheduling. Start your free trial today at ministryschedulerpro.com. From NPM, the National Association of Pastoral Musicians, this is episode 249 of Ministry Monday.
Ministry Monday is a weekly podcast about music, ministry, and liturgy, produced by the National Association of Pastoral Musicians, or NPM. What is NPM? NPM is a national association that fosters the art of musical liturgy. The members of NPM serve the Catholic Church in the United States as musicians, clergy, liturgists, and other leaders of prayer. For more information, go to npm.org/join. Have a question? Email us anytime at ministrymonday@npm.org.
Hello, and welcome to Ministry Monday. I am your host, Amanda Bruce. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to Ministry Monday wherever you get your podcasts each week, and we thank you for joining us today. Well, this week on Ministry Monday, we are excited to speak to leadership from the NPM Cincinnati, Ohio chapter. The Cincinnati chapter is NPM's 2024 chapter of the year. Today, they share the challenges of the chapter and how they have embraced the power of local programming to cultivate community and recruit members.
Today on Ministry Monday, I am speaking to some of the leadership from the NPM Cincinnati chapter, who is our 2024 chapter of the year. Allow me to introduce Paul Bresciani, Kevin Semblenay, Mary Bellman, Michael Johnson, and Ron Miller. Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Great.
Good, good. Thank you for chatting with me on Ministry Monday today. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to take a second and listen to a bit of the history of the NPM Cincinnati chapter, and then also celebrate what you guys are doing and just kind of chat about what has been working for the Cincinnati chapter and why you guys are a part of NPM. So with that being said, again, first off, congratulations on being chapter of the year. This first question is actually directly to Paul. Paul, if you don't mind me asking, what was your reaction when you got the call or email from Jennifer saying that you guys were chapter of the year this year?
That was a nice award to get. I was very happy. I don't think anyone does this to get awards, but it's nice to be recognized. And we, as I think all chapters do, we do a lot of work and it takes a lot of time, labor of love, as they say. But, I have to say it was certainly nice to be recognized.
So, of course, you guys were recognized in person at this year's members meeting in Kansas City. Remind me, who of the group was able to attend and receive the award in person?
We had a pretty good group there. I think the four of us remaining here were there. Mm-hmm. If we looked at that video, we must have had 8 to 10 people there. Does that sound right? We had all our chapter people who were there come up.
That's great. That's great. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the history of the Cincinnati chapter for those who are listening who may not know. So, when was the chapter founded?
1997. That's when we were firstly chartered. I think Nancy Bannister from the national office was part of that, and our own worship office with Larry Tenzi and Karen Kane at the time, with approval from the Archbishop, Archbishop Polarczyk. We got started. David Allen was our president, and here we are today.
That's right. One of the reasons that you, as a chapter, were chosen for Chapter of the Year is because of the programming that you offer throughout the year. So would you mind just sharing a little bit as a group about what is some of your philosophy when it comes to programming?
I think that we work to provide a balance between formation and fun. It's just fun to get together with other musicians. We all have families, we all have friends. They're not in all our line of work. So who do you turn to with the highs and the lows? We share those experiences with each other. And I think we try to also provide opportunities for everybody. Not everyone is a full-time parish musician. Some people are in choirs, some people are in ensembles. So we try to have a variety of things that are going to appeal to a lot of people.
And as a way of kind of keeping our organization consistent or ongoing is we try to program something once a month. And whether it's, you know, repeats of things like every year we go to St. Meinrad Arch Abbey for a retreat, but then other events that we hold at people's houses or hymn festivals, you know, just a variety of things, but all geared to getting the musicians together that normally can't be together. So we at least try that once a month.
So also in light of that too, with your programming, with the goal of having it once per month, but also acknowledging what Mary said too, are part of those programming decisions also based upon maybe creating a variety for different types of pastoral musicians? So you mentioned St. Meinrad, of course, but do you program throughout the year events that are maybe geared toward cantors or toward essentially non-music directors as well?
We definitely do try to have a variety of things throughout each year. Sometimes it changes year to year, or sometimes based on the availability of maybe external parties to help us with those particular things. But we generally do, we as a board get together a couple times a year and try to flush out what the needs are around our very diverse archdiocese and try to program needs, Spanish needs, cantor needs, organ needs, choral needs, director needs. So much like our own little versions of NPM.
Yeah, I can add to that. I remember one of our first meetings. We hold a patio at Mary Bellman's lunch, a patio lunch at Mary Bellman's house at the end of the year. And we use that as a not just a great fellowship and eating place, but we ask, you know, members what they'd like to see in the upcoming year. And I remember one year early on, somebody said, "Paul, you know, I love all the great choral stuff and the organ stuff and blah, blah, but we do all contemporary music. We have something for that." And, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, of course we can. You know, what ours is not the only way or what we think is best. It's we, like Ron said, we try to get, we really do make a big effort to, you know, hit everybody, where it's a Spanish, our Spanish musicians or the contemporary or, you know, kind of a normal classic, I guess, version of mass and liturgy.
And part of being able to carry out what we need in our diocese, we're a very long diocese, or like 2 hours at least from the top to the bottom. And so for people to be able to travel, you know, to things, we try to keep them maybe centralized and when they can. Other than many other things, with our cathedral being clear down at the bottom of the diocese, you know, things that have to be there obviously have to be there. But we work, have worked in the past very closely with our divine office of the worship. And, you know, they may have a need that in musician wise, and then they just look for us, which most of us are, many of us are on the Archdiocesan Music Committee as well. So we're kind of the same people, and we've worked hand in hand over the years for everything pretty much.
So you mentioned, of course, geographically that you have, of course, struggles that you have a very large diocese, geographically speaking. Do you ever look, other than directionally, do you ever look into doing any type of online formation or any type of online chapter events?
Well, we certainly did that during COVID. And it was all, I think everybody did. And we have done some, we call the pop-up NPM meeting, where we've done the something from the convention. But, you know, I guess I'd say we do certainly emphasize getting together in person. And I did piggyback onto what Kevin said earlier, and being present there, doing monthly meetings. You know, we want to be, make sure everybody's, we're in the back of everybody's mind that we're there for them, for everyone, and that we, you know, for someone they can be, reach out to, ever present.
And because of our geographic, I think we're only the one of, I think we're down to two that actually have a branch. So I'm the Dayton branch of their Cincinnati chapter. So try to work with folks up northern half, and then Paul has the southern half of our archdiocese. But of course, everything is in conjunction all together, but at least we try and we have more contact with people who are up here that know things more in this area that I'm in. And then obviously Paul knows better the Cincinnati area.
That makes total sense, given what you said in terms of trying to cover all that, that land, if you will, cover all that space. So I want to talk, touch base really quickly on your St. Cecilia programming. So do you as a chapter offer St. Cecilia programming? Is that consistent? What does that look like each year?
We offer a hymn festival tied into the Feast of St. Cecilia. We gather with choir members and parishioners, and we have a brass quartet, timpani, organist, and mark the occasion with a great sing-along.
I love the fact that you said we are visible, right? And so that's so important. So Paul, this one is directly towards you. How do you maintain that type of mailing list, and how do you get people to sign up for it? Like, what are some of the most effective things you have found for that?
I'll say it's a lot of work to try to be right on top of it. But I take it really important thing I feel that I can do. These, especially maybe a sub request comes in. It's Friday night, maybe Saturday night, and somebody's not feeling well. And I happen to see in the middle of the night on my phone that somebody needs a sub that morning at 8 a.m. It's very easy for me to send something out, emergency, sub needed. I can't even think of a time when our sub requests have gone unfulfilled. We've been able to do that. It just takes time and a little perseverance. But as Mary said, being present, being visible. I get emails all the time with, like Mary does, from people who, my pastor is doing this. My pastor wants me to do this. Is this crazy? Am I crazy? Or is it? And I go, you're not crazy. it's happening to everyone, perhaps. Or and so sometimes we are just an ear for people to keep what's on their mind and say, yeah, and again, you're not crazy.
And if I could just tandem on that a little bit, is like I was saying, we have two halves to our thing, and our email lists are, you know, very long. And they're not all Catholic. And just as a one I got yesterday, because of word of mouth, people know about us, that a Lutheran church was in dire need for a sub, and she worked her own areas and tried to get it, and all to no avail. So she found out, my name from someone, and so I said, well, yeah, here's what I do. And then I said, Paul will also do it. So, you know, just by that visibility that people know we're around, suddenly 200 people now are there to help her.
The keeping up with it, I think I answered that. That's the hardest part is keeping tabs on that that email address. But I do. You would ask, how do we get new people on it? And because of our visibility, whenever someone's new to the archdiocese and or across the river in Covington, and then their diocese is new, somebody always emails me and says, "Hey, here's a new musician, and we want to be maybe on the big sub list, and can you put them on it? Blah blah blah." And of course, I write back immediately and say, "I would be remiss at the end of not asking you to join our chapter in our national organization and give them a little plug and say, prices start at $49 a year. And certainly we give a little certain push every time to get them to join the national group, which is now how they join the chapter anyway. So I know we've gotten, a good number of people when they come to the area.
So then, if you don't mind me asking, how has that been going in terms of recruitment, where you just say, hey, welcome, you can be a part of this, just letting you know, here's, you know, here's NPM, here's what it's about. Has that helped at all in terms of your recruiting?
I think so. I think that's probably our biggest way of getting new people is the newest people who join who join our group email.
I think it's basically what you said, Paul, is kind of word of mouth that from other musicians, that as soon as they know if someone moved in the area or, you know, someone retired and now the new person has been hired, we want them to, you know, jump on the list and welcome them as well. And that's usually, at least that's the only way we seem to be growing, but just keeping up with all of them, you know, email changes and their address changes, things like that. But yeah, that's pretty much. It's still word of mouth, a lot of it.
I'll say this. I know when I do get the email saying this person's new, they always say to these people that, and I have to say, a lot of the jobs that have been open lately have been filled by people from out of town, people who are not from here, people I don't know, which is not how it was in the past. But since it's new, it's been very hard for the parishes to find musicians, at least in our archdiocese, to fulfill these some of these, especially the part-time positions that somebody wants to not pay. It sounds like a full-time position, but they just want to play the weekend, of course. Funerals, weddings, whatever during the week, pay them not very much. And maybe they'll get somebody from out of town who's young and doesn't know any better. But luckily somebody says, well, you're not alone. They know nobody. They come here and they know they can join NPM. They get on the group and maybe they come to a meeting and they meet a whole bunch of musicians. It's a nice thing to have.
Have you seen your chapter change at all, hopefully for the better, in light of the multi-year merger process that's happening in your archdiocese right now?
We have certainly heard from and seen a few more people as a result, because more people are looking to network about that and commiserate with other people who are going through merging situations and reorganization. So I would think, to answer your question, yes, I think there has been a little bit of growth, and we're a little bit even more visible, to use your word, now, just because people have turned to NPM and we've been there and we've grown and we're still in the middle of it. So yeah, I think we've definitely boosted a little bit as a result of our what we call Beacons of Light process.
I think the other side of that is true too. We've had people who have retired because of the result of the process, or it's just a good time to step away. It's a good time to do something else. And what people have done is step away from their jobs. So jobs that have had the same person in them for decades now are available, and parishes are changing the entire job. So the other thing that worries me about that is we're not seeing a lot of young people stepping forward wanting to do this work. And every time I'm in church and a little kid comes by and is staring at me, and a parent says, oh, she loves to watch you, I think, well, she may have a job in about 10 years, so let her watch. Because we just don't see the number of younger people coming forward that we did for a long time.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the challenges and the benefits, of course, that the Cincinnati chapter brings to your archdiocese. I have to ask, what are some of the goals for the chapter in the next 12 months?
I would like to see us grow participation on the part of our choir members. I think that we do a choir festival. We've been doing it now every year. We kind of developed it instead of bringing in a clinician, which costs money, to save that maybe for every few years. But we just invite choirs to come together and sing some of their pieces they did through the year. And they really enjoy listening to other choirs. My choir enjoys it. They like hearing, they're like, why can't we sing that piece? They always come back with things that they've heard that they like. But I would love to see choir members become involved in our chapter. And so I always say to mine, well, you know, you can join our chapter. You can do this. It's not just for music directors. And some of them occasionally will come. We had an evening of reflection and some of my choir members came, but I would like to see us grow those numbers, especially with shrinking numbers of professionals. If a parish has five parishes, if a family has five parishes and they only need two musicians now instead of five, it would be great if some of their choir members would come forward and join.
We'll also be having Pueri Cantores in the February. We'll be hosting it at our cathedral basilica. So just a nice, you know, for children that we've had it here a couple times in the past, but it's, you know, quite a few years in between. But that'll be nice for the children's, at least their choirs, to participate in a national event.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of, too, so of course, NPM is going to be having a regional event. The closest one to you guys is Chicago. How many hours away driving is Chicago from Cincy?
Four and a half or five.
Oh, that's not too bad. Do any of you hope to get to on the road?
Funny, I just sent out that email about.
You did. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We'll be putting carpools together. Whoever wants to go, we're looking forward to it. And Kevin and I carpooled the last time we had a convention in Chicago, so
yeah.
It sounds to me like the chapter has a lot going on and continues to be a source of support for its ministers, pastoral musicians, in a time that, quite frankly, is very similar to a lot of other dioceses that I'm talking to right now, because the wave of change in light of these church mergers is very common right now. There are several dioceses who have gone through it or are going through it. And so it just reminds me that a chapter like Cincinnati is a really important thing to have right now, because you're giving your pastoral ministers some type of support and like an anchor in a time of such change right now for your archdiocese, for jobs changing, churches merging, clergy moving, reassigned. I just applaud you for what you're doing for your entire archdiocese and, of course, your chapter.
Thank you. I've been a member of NPM since probably 1978, I think. And I have always appreciated having the organization. It's just been an anchor for us. It really has been. And I only recently threw away my very first pastoral music magazines, because I held on to them because I always found them so helpful when I was new in this line of work and in this ministry, the articles. And when I look back at the really forward thinkers and theologians that contributed to those magazines, I'm grateful for the foundation that they provided that we all can look back on and learn from and continue to learn and grow.
I just kind of piggyback on that. Mary is a few years ahead of me, but it was like 81, I think, when I joined. And, you know, then to go to those yearly and back then regional conventions, but something every year, that was really look forward to that. And, you know, that just became the family vacation hooked on, you know, usually afterwards. But being in so many different cities and getting to see those, and that's just, and then again, through the years, being able to see college people that you went to college with and graduated with, and, you know, master's program things that were all in our line of work, but we never see each other until it comes to the convention again. And so that's, you know, been great for all of us, you know, as a booster every year, to have NPM as a stability there.
I'll say one thing about that. I think one of the best things about NPM is the convention and the chapters and just being around so many like-minded people. And you can't do that unless you go. And you can't do that unless you participate. And anybody who is on the fence, say, just go, because it's worth every second.
There was one year that I was at an NPM national convention. It was recent, in the last 6 or 7 years, what had to have been, where Christmas Eve fell on a Sunday. And I joked that an NPM convention or a chapter meeting was the perfect place to use the following sentence as an icebreaker, and anyone would immediately relate who was at that meeting or convention. Can you believe Christmas Eve's on a Sunday this year? Because we all know how hard that is, right? We all know that that means Advent 4 is in the morning and Christmas Day is Sunday. But I joke because that, to me, a convention or a chapter event is one of the times that I feel very related to. I feel with a group of people that understand the needs of pastoral musicians, where we straddle this line, if you will, between serving the church as a minister, but also living in real life with all the other things in our life and our experience. So yes, I'm right there with you guys. Well, I just want to wrap up and say thank you all so much for chatting with me today. Thank you so much for what you're doing for your local chapter, your local region, and of course your local archdiocese. And let me just end the same way I started with by saying congratulations again. Welcome, congratulations for being the 2024 chapter of the year, guys.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to the NPM Cincinnati leadership, Paul, Kevin, Mary, Michael, and Ron, who joined me today, as well as all of the leadership and members of the NPM Cincinnati chapter. We again congratulate you on this wonderful achievement as NPM's Chapter of the Year. For more information about the Cincinnati chapter and how to get involved, check out the show notes of this episode at ministrymonday.org. The recording of Let the Peace of Christ Rule in Your Hearts was produced by Oregon Catholic Press and written by David Hurd. And the theme music for this episode was written by Aaron Schaus. Today's episode of Ministry Monday was produced by me, Amanda Bruce. That's it for today. With the Spirit's gifts empowering us for the work of ministry, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next time on Ministry Monday.